Today we continue with our series Lessons from Psalms, and today we are going to be reading Psalm 23, King David's descriptions of life. King David's descriptions of life. No one disputes that this is a wonderful, remarkable, poetic composition. This is at the same time King David's descriptions of life. And I'm going to read just verse 1, and then I'm going to pray before we start. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Let us pray. Lord, as we are about to spend this time together, Father, we place into your hands this half an hour or so. And we pray that may your Holy Spirit help us to receive what you have prepared for us. Father, speak to us because we come in the name of Jesus. Amen. There is a lot in a few verses, just 6 verses. This is a spiritual explanation of David's life and experience. He has many metaphors, but the main one is about sheep, about the care of sheep. The Israelites were experts on sheep. They were shepherds, and David was one. He looked after sheep. He worked for his father. He was an expert in sheep. So it is not a surprise to see that he used this metaphor to describe life. Here is David's descriptions of life. Now he's now the king. He's now in charge of his people. Now he's a general. He's a poet. And here he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." The King of Kings. The Almighty. The I Am. The God who needs nothing outside of him. He is my shepherd. Is he arrogant? Well, David is astonished that this God can think of him. Last week we read Psalm 8 verse 4. It says, "Who is mankind that you are mindful of them?" Who am I that you look after me, that you provide for me, that you are there to protect me? I shall lack nothing. This verse is about spiritual needs. Verse 1 is about spiritual needs. This is not about prosperity or wealth. Yes, God provides the necessity of life to those who trust in him, but it's not about wealth only. No, it's about God providing a spiritual need. Verse 6 says, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord." David is not living in heaven yet. He's living on earth. So he's talking about his spiritual journey, that one day he's going to be there. I lack nothing. I shall not want. What will you lack if you are wealthy, if you have everything, and yet you are miserable, and yet we get depressed, and yet many people want to finish their lives? Well, my soul, your soul need rescue. We are sinners, we are under condemnations, and you will not be rescued if you don't have the shepherd. If the Lord is not our shepherd, we are unforgiven people. If the Lord is not our shepherd, we are unpardoned people. We don't understand spiritual things. We don't understand the Bible. We need light and understanding. When we come to the shepherd, he gives us what we need to understand in order to get there one day. That is what David is talking about. With God, you have a friend in heaven. And when we leave this planet Earth, we will go on to spend time with him for eternity. I shall not want. And in verse 2, he explains how he finds this friend. Shall we read together verse 2? "He makes me lie down." He talks about grace. He makes me lie down in green pastures. There is fresh water for me. There is food. The sheep, we have green pastures to eat, to rest. It's free. Verse 2 is about grace. He is my shepherd. Therefore, I shall not lack. I cannot do it by my own. He did it for me. He prepared the green pasture. He prepares quiet and clean waters. Grace. Some churches, some group of Christianity says, we need to tick this box. We need to do this liturgy. We have to have this. We have to have that. In order, one day, maybe we are going to go to heaven. Jesus says, no, it's by grace. I am the way. I'm going to be there one day. You are going to be there. It's grace. David says, it's by grace he has provided everything. He makes me lie down in green pastures that I did not prepare. He leads me beside quiet water. In other Psalms, he speaks about the Messiah. This morning, we talk about John chapter 5. And we talk about the healing of the lame man at the pool of Bethesda. This man who has been 38 years unwell. And he's there, lying there. And Jesus comes and asks, you remember the question? Do you want to be well? And Jesus bestows grace. And he is well. That's what David is talking about. This man did nothing. This invalid man, this lame man. And Jesus bestows grace. Verse 3 says, he refreshes my soul. He restores my soul. Verse 3 is about conversion. David says, in our spiritual life, the good shepherd is there. The shepherd is there waiting for us. He wants to give us by grace. But I need to respond. Conversion. He's talking about conversion. God has designed us. This morning I said that God has designed us with five clear distinctions areas of functioning in our lives. We are physical beings. We can touch things. We are longing beings. We want to be loved. We want to do a purpose in our lives. We are thinking beings. We want to learn. We want to discover things. We want to go to the moon. We want to discover new galaxies. We are choosing beings. Because we have the free will to do whatever. We are feeling beings because we want to feel love and we want to love. But the deepest longing of our soul is for a relationship with the God who made us. God provides the moral necessities of life. That's what David is talking about here. Sheep are dumb animals that need supervision. Often they stray from the shepherd and trespass the property of others that resemble us. Sometimes we step into somebody else's life and we upset people. Sometimes we do things wrong. In this day of moral confusion, we need the true shepherd. David says, he restores my soul. He renews my life. He revives my soul. It's conversion, my friends. He's saying, why the Lord is his shepherd? Before he was disobedient, but how he can call God his shepherd when he comes to live in us? We are different. We are different men. We are different women. We are different people. Before we hate Christianity. Now we want to read the Bible. Now we want to sing. Now we want to be lost in worship. Did you? One day, that will be our job. And I hope to be worthy of being there, singing to God every day. That's what the Bible says. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. I am on a new path, says David. For his name's sake, I cannot let him down. For his name's sake, because he has restored my soul. Conversion. I am a new man, a new woman. Verse 4, shall we read together verse 4? Even though What is he talking about? Well, David's talking about the experience of a believer, our normal lives. In those times when you wanted to travel from one place to another, they were dangerous places. You know, in the experience of living, we have dark ravines, places. You know, there are places that we have to cross. You know, even when you are a child, it's dangerous to go to school. You know, you go to, I don't know how, probably you don't remember. You know, when we go to kindergarten, you know, that was a huge step. Now you go to secondary school, to primary school, university. Those are dangerous places. That's what David's talking. You go to work, you don't know what people you are going to find there. Here David says, in those places there were beasts and robbers high, ready to attack the sheep. Danger is an inevitable experience of living. He's telling us about ordinary life. We know about how much he went with enemies and the problems with his sons. And he says, the expressions valley or shadow of death describes the dangers of life. But the King David said, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Yes, you will be there for me. In the book of Job, one of the oldest books in the Bible, said, "A man is born to trouble." That is part and parcel of life. And we are not immune. We as a Christians, we cannot claim spiritual immunity from the sorrows and sorrows of life. But we can find that in the midst of all of this, there is a presence that sustains. We are never alone, for you are with me. The Apostle Paul experienced that. In the Bible, we read that Paul, this brilliant theologian, he says, "I have a thorn in my flesh. God, take it away." He prayed, and we read that the Spirit, he sensed that God is saying to him, "My grace is sufficient for you." What are you experiencing, my friend? I heard a story of two young Christians, professionals. She helped in the church, and her husband was a helper, a deacon in the church. And he got cancer. Very young. And he died. The funeral on Friday. And the woman found the pastor on the Saturday and said, "I want to sing tomorrow." "But my dear, you cannot do that. The music overwhelms you. That will be, I want to worship my Lord." She insisted, and on the Sunday, she stood with Christian radiance and sang this song that is one of my favorites. "What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer." That is what Christ does. Your friend leave you. Your partner leave you. Your children's forsaken you. "You have a friend," said David. "He restores my soul. He looks after me." David's life was full of trouble. His sons wanted to kill him. The countries wanted to invade It was not easy. He illustrates on this verse, even if I go through the deepest darkness, I will not be afraid, Lord, because the Lord is my shepherd. He hears my prayers. He defends me. He gives me strength. It does affect your secular life. If you are with the Lord, my friend, He will be there. He will share your sorrows. He will help you and take care of you. He answered my prayers. He sustains you. You will not be lacking of spiritual needs. By grace, He can sustain you. You will not be afraid. And you can always pray. Verse 5 says, let's read it together. Being a shepherd himself, he knew how the shepherd loved his sheep, a love that was willing to face storms, cold, and even risk life to care for the sheep and provide for their needs. We can understand such love. Paul says, I cannot understand how he can love me. I heard a program in the radio, and this woman gave a wonderful description about how God loved you and me. You know, it's like, I have 3 children. And when the first child came, I loved my first child. Maybe you have the same experience. And now your second one comes, you love that child. And now you love the third one, you love that child. It's the same with God, but with a unique love. And then when things are going wrong, David is saying, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So when things go wrong, if the Lord is your shepherd, you know that He's preparing a table for you. Do you believe that? He's preparing a table. He is about to do something good in your life, but we need to trust in the good shepherd. That's what David is talking about me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He has a love that seeks, that He comes to rescue me. He has a love that gives me security. The Lord Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they will follow me, and I will give unto them eternal life. Zoe for you. Eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And Paul says that when things go wrong, even when things are looks like, what's going to happen with this man, with this woman? Well, Romans 8, chapter 28 says, and we know that what? In all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. So when things go wrong in my life, I said, God is preparing a table for me. Even if people want to do something wrong against me, God is preparing a table for me. My friend, let's not be afraid. When I was in the Navy, I used to help with the preaching and all that. And I didn't realize that some people hate me for that. And I used to have, the commander used to allow me to do a few things with the sailors and young officers. And then one day we have a huge problem. And I didn't know what happened. We were into a huge issue in our unit. I was in trouble. I thought my career is about to end, but I trust no God. I will not go into full details. But then after many years, it was very tough. And we have a conflict against Peru, and we were sailing for months, and it was tough. After the next year, I heard the news. One of the officers, the second in command, has been given the opportunity to have his third unit. And he left the unit. When he took the first mission, the unit that he was in charge sunk. And a couple of people died. You know what somebody told me yesterday? Freddie, he was the man that was giving bad information about you to the commander. And I said, let's pray for him. He lost his career completely. And I didn't know that this man, poor man, was trying to do something against me. The Lord, shall we read together that? And we know. As a result of that, many sailors came to the services that we prepared. As a result of that, many people were willing to hear the gospel. Oh, there should be something there. You see what I'm talking about, friends? Let's not be afraid. You are in university. Your friends are going to leave you. What a friend you have in Jesus. Finally, the psalmist says that we have to have this. Wow, the day is coming. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a wonderful descriptions. The Old Testament scholars, as usual, contend that the image of the shepherd changes in verse 5 to a host, which makes sense, isn't it? He's not a shepherd anymore. Now he's a host. And now, but whatever the psalmist intended, we know the truth remained the same. God pictured as a shepherd or as a lovely host, he loved you. He loved me. He wants to give me eternal life. He wants to give you eternal life. The Lord Jesus, before he was leaving, and he was leaving his disciples, and we don't know his face. We were not able to spend time with him. But he says in John chapter 14, he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. I'm going to prepare a place for you." I love one of the members of the previous church. I love this woman. I love this sister. She said, "Freddie, I like the version that said, I'm going to prepare a mansion for you." So you don't have a mansion here. You're going to have a mansion over there. He's going to prepare up. I don't care, I said to my lover sister. If he gives me just a flat, I will be happy. I know that he's preparing a place for me and for you. My friends, are you burdened with life experiences? Are you troubled? Are you struggling? Are you feeling unfulfilled? You are trying this and that and it's not working. Even perhaps you have been in church and you feel unfulfilled. The deepest longing of our souls is for a relationship with the God who made you. Can you say, "The Lord is my shepherd"? Have you surrendered your life to Christ? Can you say, "He has renewed my life. I know he walks with me and he will take me home one day"? Come to Jesus tonight. Come to the Lord shepherd, to the good shepherd. Come to the Lord. He will lead you through life's journey and will take you to a glorious destination. And in the house of the Lord, we can dwell forever. Come to the good shepherd. Amen. Let's spend a moment in silence. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful, beautiful song. Thank you for David's life that resembles our life. Imperfect, fragile, but honest. And with a heart that loves you so much. Father, help us to say you are our shepherd. I pray for the person listening tonight. Somebody who has been looking fulfillment in different things, that he or she will come to realize, like David, that you are the shepherd and you want to give us by grace salvation, and you want to protect us, and you are preparing a table before us in the presence of our enemies. Even if we are going through difficult situations, you are there. And you want to be with us all the days of our life. And we have the wonderful promise that one day we are going to be with you. Father, thank you for your word tonight. And we pray that you can bless. Father, bless. Bless our lives, our families, this city, and this country. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.